Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Healing the Five Wounds of the Heart, Free Yourself from the Bonds of the Past by Dr. Marie Mbuni, narrated by Tree Taylor. Introduction. Have you ever found yourself repeating a pattern you swore you'd never get caught in again? Maybe you're doing too much for everyone around you, wearing a mask to make your neighbors or coworkers like you, putting up with a partner who treats you badly, or sacrificing your own goals to please somebody else. You might find yourself thinking, why is this happening again? Yet, no matter how many times you resolve to do things differently, the same situations seem to come into your life over and over, as if they are magnetically drawn to you. As a shaman and energy healer, I see this kind of thing all the time. People come to me because they seem to be caught in an infinite loop. Although they may know on an intellectual level what their problems are, they don't seem to be able to make the deep changes required to graduate from these particular modules in their soul's education. They may speak about past traumas with insight, yet it is clear to me from their voice, body language, and manner of being that these traumas are still driving their lives in powerful ways. After working with hundreds of clients over the span of more than a decade, I noticed a pattern emerging. The people who came to me were all wounded in one of five core ways. They had been abandoned. They had been betrayed. They had been forced to deny their true selves. They had been judged, or they had been cut off from a sense of connection with other people and with the divine. In short, they had been separated. They expressed these wounds in their choices of jobs, partners, and friends, in their choice of clothing, music, and books, in their attention or inattention to grooming and exercise, in the harshness or laxness of their inner critic, and in how they presented themselves to me. Although none of them seemed to realize it, these wounds were like filters determining their entire reality. Often, they didn't seem able to see past the limited options their wounds presented to them. Their wounds had become their worlds. Abandonment, betrayal, denial, judgment, and separation. These are the five wounds of the heart, the five ways we become locked in perpetual suffering. Although we receive these wounds as children, they continue to play out in our adult lives, causing us to unconsciously seek out endless variations on the original painful experience. Left untreated, the five wounds of the heart lead to repetition compulsion, also known as trauma reenactment, the mysterious effect by which humans seek out the very same situations that hurt them in the past. A person wounded by judgment will continue to judge themselves or unconsciously seek out shaming partners. A person wounded by betrayal will keep trusting the wrong people, ignoring all evidence that they should run the other way. A single formative abandonment turns into a series of abandonments. An experience of aloneness turns into a lifetime of separation. This is not because our wounds want us to suffer. However, in fact, quite the opposite. Repetition compulsion is life's way of giving us opportunities to heal. Although we cannot time travel to the past and change things, we can heal the past by responding to our present situation in new ways. In this book, I will give you the tools to do exactly that. By bringing your awareness, imagination, creativity, and courage to these practices, you can heal your heart wounds and step into a life of wholeness, ease, and good health. Identifying your heart wounds. Our deepest wounds are often hidden from ourselves, although they may be painfully obvious to people around us. This is because we have grown up with them. They seem normal to us, and hence are invisible. For example, if you grew up with a mother who required you to create a false self to please her, You may believe that creating a false self is just a normal requirement of being loved. If you grew up with a father who required you to endlessly forgive or ignore his painful betrayals, you may accept frequent betrayal as a normal condition of being in relationship with others. Have you ever had a medical condition you were completely unaware of until somebody else pointed it out to you? For example, maybe you were nearsighted as a child, but you didn't realize that other kids could see the blackboard or make out individual leaves on a tree until your teacher pointed it out. Or maybe you have seasonal affective disorder, but it was years or decades before you realized that not everybody becomes debilitatingly depressed in the winter. We all take our own experience of the world as normal, to such an extent that we fail to seek out help for even painful, debilitating problems. Instead, we chalk them up to being just the way things are. But what if I told you that the most painful and confounding problems in your life are not just the way things are? They are wounds that can be healed, putting an end to those problems for good. As a shaman, I've devoted my life to helping people identify and heal their heart wounds. My hope is that this book will achieve the same effect, even if you and I never meet in person. Consider the following descriptions. Does one of these wounds describe your own situation? Abandonment. You keep getting involved with people and institutions who leave you high and dry. No matter how much you give to others, you keep finding yourself alone, right when you need other people the most. Alternatively, important people in your life complain that you abandon them no matter how many times you resolve not to do this. Betrayal. You keep getting involved with people and institutions who break your trust by lying, cheating, stealing, or spreading rumors about you. No matter how carefully you vet your friends and partners, they still end up betraying you. Alternatively, you have a pattern of betraying the important people in your life, no matter how many times you resolve to treat them well. Denial. You keep getting involved with people and institutions who require you to bury your true self and put up a false front. No matter how firmly you resolve to be yourself, you end up developing a new persona to please others. Alternatively, important people in your life have told you that they can't be their true selves around you, with the result that your relationships are never as close as you would like. Judgment. You keep getting involved with people and institutions who criticize and shame you, and your response to life's stressors is to criticize and shame yourself. No matter how hard you try to seek out supportive partners and friends, you end up with people who put you down. Alternatively, important people in your life have told you that your constant criticisms are pushing them away. Separation. You keep getting involved with people or institutions who make you feel like you're all alone. No matter how hard you try to connect with other people, you still feel cut off and isolated. Alternatively, important people in your life have told you that it's difficult to connect with you or make you part of a group, no matter how hard they try to include you. In many cases, you will immediately recognize yourself in a certain wound. Just hearing those five words, abandonment, betrayal, denial, judgment, and separation, is often enough to make a light bulb go off. Maybe all or some of those words evoke vivid and specific childhood memories. Maybe the mere act of hearing them makes your stomach knot up and your palms sweat. In other cases, you may think, there's no way that one applies to me, only to discover a glaring wound you didn't realize you had. Even if you remember very little of your childhood, you can identify the heart wounds that are dominating your life by paying careful attention to your own behavior, especially as it pertains to relationships with others. Do you avoid people? Do you give too much? Do you build walls against intimacy? Do you constantly feel like an outsider, Do you keep finding yourself in relationships with partners who lie to you, abandon you, shut you out emotionally, or require you to put up a false front? In each of the sections that make up this book, I provide lists of symptoms for each heart wound, as well as examples from my own life and the lives of my clients. By carefully reviewing these physical, emotional, and behavioral symptoms, you can identify how active a certain wound is in your life, whether or not you remember the exact origins of the wound. And by working with the healing practices in every other chapter, you can gently diffuse your heart wounds and restore yourself to a state of wholeness and balance. Most adults have all five wounds to some degree. By the time we're in our 20s, most of us have experienced some form of abandonment, betrayal, denial, judgment, or separation of our authentic selves. With this in mind, I encourage you to work with all the healing practices in this book, not just the ones associated with your most prominent or obvious wounds. By working with all five wounds, you can heal your whole heart and unlock the hidden treasures that have been waiting for you all along. Part 1. The Abandonment Wound. When I was a baby, my mother divorced my dad. She left me and my sister with our grandmother and went to live in Europe with her new husband. The first time I was conscious of the fact that my grandmother wasn't my mother, I was 3 years old. My mother had flown to Cameroon to visit us. I remember staring at her in confusion, trying to figure out who this strange woman was. If this woman was my mother, as she claimed, then who was my grandmother? Why did I live with my grandma instead of my mom? Why did my mom live in a country far away? And why had she come back? When my mom left again after a few days, I was even more confused. Mothers were supposed to stay with their children. Why was my mother leaving me behind? Didn't she want me? The excitement I'd begun to feel about being reunited with my mother swiftly turned to sorrow. A few years later, when I was 7, my father appeared suddenly to take me and my sister away from our grandmother's house. Apparently, he and my mom had made an agreement that he would come and take us when we were old enough, but no one had thought to explain this to us. One day, we were living at our grandmother's place. The next day, we were heading out with a father we barely knew to go live with a stepmother and step-siblings we had never met. This time, I felt abandoned by my grandmother. Why was she letting him take us? Why didn't she fight to keep us or put up any kind of protest at all? Didn't she love us? Other kids lived in one house with one caregiver or set of caregivers until they grew up. Why didn't we deserve as good as them? Although I missed my grandmother like crazy, my grief was complicated by anger and confusion. How could she do this to us, knowing our mother had already done it once before? This pattern of abandonment continued throughout my childhood. When I was 13, my mother came back from Europe and scooped me and my sister up from our father's house, only to deliver us to a boarding school in a strange city. Again and again, we were treated like toys that could be picked up, moved around, and cast aside when the adults lost interest. No matter what I did to win my mother's approval and make her want to be with me, I felt like I could never be good enough to hold her attention and make her stay. Even though this pattern of abandonment seems like an obvious source of trauma, it actually took me a lot of work to realize that my family's behavior had affected me at all. I went to medical school and became a successful anesthesiologist. Because I was successful, I believed I hadn't been wounded. But as an adult, I began to wonder, what's going on with me? I'm single, I'm alone, I don't trust people. I was cagey and aloof, and although I could put on a good show at cocktail parties, I had a hard time getting close and being vulnerable. If somebody was nice to me, I'd think, wait, what do they want from me? I didn't bother putting much effort into my relationships because I assumed that anyone who claimed to care about me would just disappear. As a result of this assumption about my friends, I ended up abandoning them, moving away without saying goodbye, ghosting people, and generally treating other people as if they were disposable and interchangeable. Without realizing it, I had begun to treat others the way I had been treated. After a few years of painful confusion, I did a self-guided shamanic journey in which I traveled back to my childhood. I found myself at age 3, and I saw an image of my mother and her new husband. They were wearing matching outfits and holding pinkies. The thought that came to me was, what would it take for my mother to hold my hand like that? That was when I began to realize that I was living from an abandonment wound, which was affecting my life in countless ways. I realized I had made several unspoken agreements with myself in an effort to protect myself from future abandonment. For example, one of my agreements was, it's okay not to have love. When I realized this, I was stunned. I had decided that it was fine for me to live my whole life without love, either giving it or receiving it. Imagine deciding that it was okay to not give a baby love, or a puppy, or a cat, or even a houseplant. We cannot survive without love. Yet, I had decided that this was an acceptable way for me to live. As soon as I realized that I was starving myself of love, I decided to change my life. I resolved that from that point on, I would always give and receive love. I would no longer let my abandonment wound run my life from the shadows. I would bring it into the light and let it heal. Most importantly, I would never again abandon myself. I would become my own best friend, staying loyal to myself in times of hardship and trouble, and never questioning my own worth. Origins of the abandonment wound. We all feel abandoned from time to time, whether it's by a friend who fails to show up when we need her, by a sibling who declines to help with aging parents, or by a customer service agent who leaves us on hold for hours when we're trying to solve a stressful problem. Humans are deeply social creatures, and abandonment activates our threat response while flooding us with sensations of deep distress. Where is the tribe? I need them. I can't do this on my own. Although most of us can tolerate the occasional small instance of abandonment, we can develop an abandonment wound when the stakes are high and the distress is unmitigated for long periods of time. Physical abandonment by a parent is just one of a variety of ways people can develop an abandonment wound. Other causes can include the following: grieving the death of a parent or caregiver, being affected by a parent or caregiver's alcoholism or addiction, having neglectful parents, being left home alone as a child, being abandoned by a spouse, being left to deal with an overwhelming situation at a young age, enduring the intolerable, the sense of being abandoned by God. This last one, being abandoned by God, is especially difficult. A client of mine had a loving husband and family and all the support she could wish for, but when her 6-year-old child died of leukemia, she experienced a nearly unbearable sense of abandonment. In this sense, abandonment involves the breaking of an unwritten contract between parents and children or between God and humanity. We feel abandoned when the person or deity who was supposed to love and protect us withdraws that love and protection, leaving us alone with unmanageable pain. Signs you are living with an abandonment wound. A client of mine was constantly giving gifts. She would make cookies for the mail carrier, press food and drinks on anyone who walked through her door, and give away clothes, books, or garden tools to anyone who she thought might like them. Not only that, but she was constantly offering to do things for her neighbors and friends even when nobody had asked. Although people often started out by gratefully accepting her gifts, it was only a matter of time before new acquaintances began to decline her offers, which caused my client enormous anxiety. Generosity is a beautiful thing within appropriate limits, but my client's giving had an edge of neediness to it that drove others away. She unconsciously believed that by giving things to people, she could force them to be friends with her and prevent them from abandoning her. Before we began our work together, she had no idea that this chronic gift-giving had anything to do with the abandonment she had experienced as a child. The abandonment wound can show itself in surprising ways. You may be living with an abandonment wound if any of these situations ring true for you. You have a desperate need to please others. You constantly seek reassurance that you are loved and valued. You avoid commitment. You assume others will leave you. You leave romantic partners before they get a chance to leave you. You fear being alone and surround yourself with people all the time. You keep friends at a distance or push them away before they can disappoint you. You give too much. You are extremely private and cagey. You question whether your partner or friends really love you. You have difficulty generating feelings of closeness or intimacy. The abandonment wound leaves you constantly on edge, facing a frightening world on your own. Do whatever you can to please the tribe, your brain might yell. Or, don't bother joining a tribe, they'll just leave you anyway. You might become overly self-reliant, a lonesome cowboy, traversing the desert on his own, never letting anyone get too close. Or you may become a gushing debutante, falling all over yourself to win people over, while losing touch with who you really are and what you really value. Let's discuss a few of these symptoms in more detail. Not being vulnerable with others. A client came to me because he was having trouble opening his heart in a relationship. He had finally met somebody he could imagine spending the rest of his life with, but he felt that he was holding back. He described the sensation of a physical barrier over his heart, like a thick piece of leather. This barrier had been there ever since his mother died of cancer when he was 9 years old, an event that had completely shattered his childhood. He and his brother had been sent to live with an aunt and uncle who were already overwhelmed by the demands of their own children. Nobody was available to help him manage his pain, grief, and confusion. He had been very close with his mother, but now he closed his heart. He didn't understand why his mother had died when his friends' and cousins' mothers were still alive. Like many children, he assumed that her death had something to do with him, that she had abandoned him because he wasn't worth sticking around for. Now that he had found the partner of his dreams, these feelings of inadequacy were coming back with a vengeance. He felt that he had to work very hard to keep his partner interested and anticipate their every need, or else they would leave. At the same time, he was terrified of showing his true self to his partner or expressing a full range of emotions. He tried to create a perfect self to show his partner in the hopes that this would protect him from abandonment. But meanwhile, he was withholding the vulnerability that relationships require to thrive. Leaving others before they can leave you. Another client of mine found it easy to find romantic partners and enjoyed the falling in love phase very much. But when her partner started talking about commitments, such as moving in together or having children, she would find a reason to break up with them. These breakups were often very sudden. She blindsided her partners with the news that she no longer wanted to be with them, and that was that. Relationship over. Although she longed to get married and have children, she couldn't seem to stop this pattern of breaking off connections as soon as commitment seemed imminent. As the prospect of happiness seemed more and more likely, so did the prospect of getting hurt. Her response was to abandon her partner before they could do the thing she most feared, which was to abandon her. As a child, her parents had left her with her grandparents in Thailand while they immigrated to the United States for work. Although they had promised to send for her once they were established, this had never come to pass. She grew up feeling like she'd been left behind. In her adult life, she craved closeness and stability without realizing the ways in which she herself was sabotaging her hopes of getting these things. She was blind also to the ways in which her abrupt manner of breaking off relationships was injuring others in the exact same way she had been injured as a child. Constantly seeking reassurance. The abandonment wound can show up as a need for frequent reassurance that you are loved and valued, combined with anxiously scanning for signs that another abandonment is imminent. I had a client who was 10 years old when her father walked out on the family. She was absolutely blindsided. One day, he was there, and the next day he was gone, leaving no note and providing no explanation. She later found out that he had moved across the country to be with a woman he'd met online. Although her father had been warm and loving, or perhaps because he had been warm and loving, his departure made her question her entire reality. Suddenly, she wasn't sure if he had ever really loved her, her mother, and her siblings, after all. Maybe she had read him wrong. This wound had a profound impact on her day-to-day life long after she'd grown up and gotten married herself. Every day, when she came home from work, she felt a prickle of anxiety as she wondered whether or not her husband would still be there. She called him several times a day just to hear his voice and paid close attention to any small changes in his mood or his schedule. If he seemed a little bit distracted or preoccupied, it could trigger an emotional meltdown in her as she began to worry that he was about to leave. He sometimes complained that he was endlessly having to prove his love to her. No matter how faithful, dependable, and present he was, she was always seeking more reassurances that he really loved her and intended to stay. This anxiety was straining the relationship to the point that it risked becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. "I feel like I'm always on trial," he told her, "and that's no way to live. You're the one who needs to decide to trust me. Nothing I can do will make you feel okay." Risks of the abandonment wound. Left untreated, abandonment wounds can cause you to drive away the people closest to you. They can keep you in a constant cycle of seeking approval as you try to find solid ground by gaining favor with other people. They can even cause you to abandon others because you assume that your presence is not really valued and therefore will not be missed if you leave. The good news is you can heal your abandonment wound and free yourself from its painful patterns. In the next chapter, I will share my favorite tools for doing exactly that. Part 1. Healing Practices. If the abandonment wound is caused when an unwritten contract is broken, for example, parents look after their children, it begins to heal when we make new contracts with life and with ourselves. My own abandonment wound began to heal when I made the contract to always give and receive love. I did this by smiling at others, petting dogs and holding babies, painting pictures, singing, letting my friends know how much they meant to me, and letting myself know how much I meant to me. What are some other contracts we can make with life? How about I am worthy, even if this romantic partner decides not to be with me? Or I belong, even if I'm not 100% perfect all the time. As we establish these new contracts with life, our capacity for connection deepens. We stop fearing abandonment and learn to enjoy the messy, weird, surprising, difficult, and rewarding process of letting other people into our lives. I once worked with a client who was highly
sample complete. Ready to continue?